great to be back here in Brisbane. Someone was asking me how I get up here, and it's a reasonable amount of it here. But I haven't been on the stage presenting CETA research since we released our community policy work last year, as you know, my recollection. So it's nice to be back here talking again about some of our unique research and our survey work, which is about connecting our thinking to the broader community. Before I start talking about the research in particular, I did just want to follow on from Clint's acknowledgement of country and also pay respects to elders past, present and future. One of the things you'll hear me speak a lot about in terms of what CETA's trying to do at the moment is actually to connect sectors, to collaborate, to draw insights and to break down areas of disconnect. I think one of the greatest areas of disconnect in this country at the moment is around our shared history with the First Australians and understanding their perspectives on the tens of thousands of years that they lived on this land and what it feels like with others now living on this land more recently. And in the spirit of reconciliation, I think breaking down that disconnect is one of the most important challenges that we face as a nation. So, on to Company Pulse. Clint gave you a rundown of the rationale for doing this research, and it really is part of our effort to connect different sectors and to understand the perspectives of different groups that we think are fundamentally important to driving reform in this country. One of the things that we discovered last year when we did the Community Pulse research is that the vast majority of Australians actually don't feel connected to economic growth and the benefits of economic growth. And by extension, they don't feel connected to the benefits of having a strong business sector. And the trust in business, which Clint referenced, has been declining. We've had specific events here in Australia, which I think has cast business in a particular light, not least on the Royal Commission. And so we felt it was important to try to understand not just the disconnect, but where the community is connected and aligned with business, and to understand the community's expectations of business. Because if you want to rebuild trust, if there isn't an alignment around expectations, it's almost impossible to do so. Because if business thinks it's doing the right thing, but it's not doing what the community expects of it, it's pretty likely that trust is going to remain where it is now and that we won't see any improvement. So that's sort of the backdrop to why we undertook this research. If you look at the report, you'll see, these headlines everyone will be familiar with around the different conversations going on around business, around shareholder versus stakeholder value, and various other comments and conversations, including the week that we launched the report around whether business should be speaking up on issues. So it was timely that we did this work, and I think the results are actually quite significant and important. I'm just going to highlight that while we think this is pretty timely, when we were doing the work, and we just moved offices in Melbourne, and one of the things that allowed us to do was to flip through some of our library, and actually we uncovered this little gem, the social responsibility of corporations, which we did back in the mid-1970s. So it turns out everything old is new again. Now, it's interesting because I've also been doing some other reading around how capitalism has evolved, and obviously, I need to get a life, but one of the things that people reference is this period from the sort of 1920s to the 1970s, the beginning of the 1970s, which I sort of refer to as the global, and so golden age of capitalism. And so to me, it was interesting that in the 70s, that was perhaps one of the first periods when people really started questioning capitalism and the role of businesses. And it was a period, of course, where the glow started coming off some of the economic progress that had been taken for granted, perhaps, but it certainly became part of the course for the previous decades. I'll just give you a quick quote from the 1976 report, and it was a quote from Jeff Allen, who's been long involved with CETA, so I thought it was quite pressing, if I can put it that way. And he said, in our older publication, there is a widening gap between what business sees as its proper role and what the community sees is coming more to expect of it being business. So the this expectation of this gap was being called out then. And there was another interesting reference, which I quite like, because it's not about being pessimistic about this debate, but actually understanding one side of what's driving it. And it was a quote from Adlai Stevenson in the 1970s, who spoke about the revolution of rising expectations. So expectations, gaps in expectations can be driven by shifted expectations and a shifted performance. And I think what we're seeing is perhaps a bit of both of perceptions of that. So let me just run through quickly what the key findings from the survey are. I don't get it, not surprisingly, convince you, hopefully, to have a look at the report, because there is an awful lot in it. And I'm going to try to give you a snapshot, but I think there's some really interesting insights in there. And if you can take the time to have a look at it, I'm sure you'll find something that you find interesting. Okay, so don't have to go through that. Here was the headline, one of the headlines for us. Should large companies, and I should say our focus is on larger companies, should large companies be equally concerned about their economic, social, and environmental performance? And I stress the word equally. And we had two groups in our survey, the general public, of which there were 3,000, equally representing the demography of Australia, and business leaders. And these are leaders from big business themselves, C-suite members of big businesses. So 72% of the public agree that business should be equally focused on these three aspects of performance. And fully 88% of business leaders think the same. So there is really strong alignment that business performance is about more than just delivering economic and financial benefits. So again, I said, it's not just about the areas of disconnect, it's also calling out the areas where people agree on things. What else? This came as a bit of a surprise to me. We asked people about how they thought businesses were performing. And actually, there was quite favourable perceptions of business performance. More than 50% of the general public had a positive view of the performance of large companies across a broad range of measures, including the delivery of a safe and healthy workplace environment, shareholder returns, fair deals for customers, and actually fair pay as well. When you ask business leaders, not surprisingly, they have an even more favourable view of their own performance, but so did their employees. So the point that came out of the Edelman Trust Barometer about employees trusting their employers actually was something we wanted to test, and it was reaffirmed in the work that we did. The two areas where people didn't think that highly of business performance was around the payment of fair and correct tax contributions and managing impacts on the environment. Now, again, in the context of everything old is new again, fair and correct tax contributions was a source of anxiety and a gap in expectations way back in the mid-70s. So this is an ongoing source of concern that the community still has, particularly around the contributions of large business. We asked a specific question about whether people accepted business leaders of large businesses speaking out on issues other than economic performance. So we asked explicitly around business leaders speaking out on social and environmental issues, and again, there was a very strong acceptance of business leaders doing that. At least 78% of the general public accepted this. A higher proportion of business leaders actually supported this as well. Interestingly, when we asked employees, they were very supportive of business leaders speaking out, but they were actually more supportive of business leaders speaking out on issues that didn't directly relate to that business. They were more supportive of the business leaders in their company speaking out on issues of the environment and social issues as compared with them speaking out on issues of taxation or immigration, other things that went directly to their business. So I think I'll come back to, the bottom point here. While people are accepting that business leaders should speak out, they're still cynical about why they're doing so. And I think if I go back to the point about the employees, the way you could interpret that is to say that there is still some cynicism or scepticism around whose interests are being reflected. And so when a business leader is speaking out on something like immigration, regulation, or taxation, people are perhaps a little bit more thinking that that's in the company's interest or the business leader's interest. Whereas when you're speaking out on other issues, that perhaps there's a smaller belief that that's in the national interest. The takeout for me here, though, is that business leaders need to understand that the community is still seeing their comments as being in the interest of message to be given, to be close there in terms of connecting more to the community. When I've been asked about this in the media, what I've said is, I think business needs to do these things for the right reasons, and then they need to authentically and clearly explain why what they're doing is not only in their interests, but is also in the national interest. And I think when you do those two things in lockstep, it has more credibility. And I think that's what we've seen in the examples that I've referenced, are the ones that you would have seen in media themselves, with business leaders like Andrew McKenzie from BHP speaking on Indigenous recognition, and of course Alan Joyce speaking clearly in favour of marriage equality. So, again, I think there are things that are important for business to hear from the community in this, in terms of understanding how their voice is being heard. But two really key aspects of alignment from my perspective. Yes, we accept that you should speak out and can speak out. Yes, we accept and believe that your performance should be about more than just economic and financial returns. So the other thing that we did in the survey is a sort of headline, kind of, you know, the big chunky bits of findings from the report, is we asked both business leaders and the broader community to prioritise the issues that were most important from their perspective for businesses to be focused on. So this is the point about trying to get to the mutuality of expectations, which we see as an important foundation for trust. I'm not really expecting you to be able to read all this. When you have a look at the report, you'll see it. The point that I will draw out is that the items up here that are in colour, the community and business agree on. And the items that are black up here are the areas that were on one list but not the other. Okay? So, to call it out specifically, issues that were important to business leaders that were not important to the community, increasing returns to shareholders, which when you have a look at the table further in the report, actually comes rock bottom for the community, absolute bottom. Okay? So that's on the business leaders list, not surprising. Investing in new technology is on the business leaders list, not on the community's top priorities. And conducting research and development for new or better products, also on the list of the business leaders, but not on the top 10 list for the community. And diversity. Diversity, I think, is an interesting one. I was expecting people to ask me about that in the media, and they didn't. My interpretation of this is that the community sees this very much as an issue for business to manage as it would normally expect. So that they would see this as part of a business running a good business. There's so much talk about the benefits of diversity for good company performance. But I think they're seeing this in this context as an issue for business and not as an issue for the broader society or community, if I could put it that way. And then if we go through to the top 10 general public priorities, again, you can see all the coloured ones were on both lists. So just a quick glance at that tells you that, again, really strong alignment. 8 out of 10 of the issues that were on this list were also on the business leaders list. 8 out of 10. And then you've got a couple that were on one and not the other, right? So the two that absolutely stand out that are important to the community but were not on the business leaders list: improving staff wages and bonuses, and paying small business suppliers promptly. And then there was another one that came just a little bit further down, which was around producing and providing goods and services at the lowest cost. So on the community list were things around cost of living and wages and looking after small business, essentially. Not surprising, I think. But the big call out to business leaders to say, these are the things that you can expect the community to be grumpy about. If you're not talking about them, if you're not reflecting them, if you're not thinking about them. So they were the big call outs for us. And again, just to summarise the areas of alignment, both business leaders and the community agree. Providing staff with good work-life balance, products and services that are tailored to customer needs, high quality products and services, training and career development, staff well-being, supply chains, ethical supply chains, reducing the impact on the environment, and improving positive impacts on local communities. They're all areas of alignment. And again, they all resonate with our starting point, which is that both business leaders and the community believe that the were in the areas that I've spoken about. In the green one, the green bars show you where the general public is, and the blue dot shows you where business leaders were in terms of how much of a priority that is. And the top bar is staff wages. And the next one down is paying business suppliers promptly, and then products and services at lowest prices. So you can see that's quite a considerable gap in terms of the prioritisation of these issues. And the blue box shows you what business leaders think is important with the blue bars, and the green dots are where the general public sees these issues. And of course, you can see there that the really glaring disconnect is around returns to shareholders. For what it's worth, I don't think that people believe that there isn't a need for an appropriate return to shareholders. I think perhaps what's dividing this debate is around the prioritisation of shareholder returns and some of the language around maximising shareholder returns as distinct from appropriate shareholder returns, but that's just my two cents worth. And where this really got drawn out was we actually asked a very specific question around when a large company has an improvement in technology, who should first benefit from those savings? And when we asked business leaders who their number one stakeholders were, customers came first. But when we asked them, okay, you've had this great technology boost which reduces costs, to whom are the benefits distributed? And they said shareholders. So again, there's a couple of glimpses in here around where I think the community is saying, hey, you're saying one thing, but we think another thing, and maybe this just snuck out of the survey a little bit with a little bit of clarity. So I think that's an area where there is a serious disconnect, and as we talk about the future of economic growth and development in this country, trying to get to a point where the broader community believes that those benefits are flowing to them through improvements in cost of living and through jobs and wages is a critical challenge for all of us. Finally, let me talk about a couple of other disconnects, and then very quickly, because I miss waving flags at me, but I can't. I've got my glasses on there, so I'm just going to keep ploughing through. So we asked about the ethical behaviour of business. Everyone agrees, broadly, that expectations around ethical behaviour have increased. But I guess it would be hard to assume otherwise on the back of the scrutiny that we've seen. But who thinks that ethical behaviour has actually improved? Not surprisingly, business leaders do, but the community is yet to be convinced. Now, again, for what it's worth, I actually sit on a number of company boards, and I actually think that there is a very sharp focus on improving ethical behaviour. But that's not translating, that is not how the community as a whole is seeing things. Is it harder for companies to get away with unethical behaviour? Business leaders think yes, the vast majority, again, less than 50% of the community agree with that. And interestingly, where there is agreement, well less than 50% of business leaders and the general public believe that the government is taking strong action against unethical behaviour. Now, to be fair on that one, the survey was conducted before the government's regulatory responses on the main findings. So that may be slightly different now, but I think that's probably a fair sense of the sentiment. And then very quickly, so that you can have lunch, how did Queensland perform? Can I say, again, I think in the spirit of calling out where I think there is alignment, I think there is a lot of conversation in this country at the moment where people are trying to draw divides and divisions between people. And what we find in this survey is that they don't exist. There are small differences around the place, but for instance, if you look at the results from the sample that live in urban areas and regional areas and remote areas, there are not substantial differences. There are not substantial differences on whether the voice of business is acceptable for the voice of business to be heard. There will be differences in priorities, but this message around the role of business, there is some great chasm between urban and remote or regional, between one state or another. Having said that, in Queensland, there's certainly greater prioritisation on workforce issues, and that probably reflects the fact that the unemployment rate is a bit higher here. And there was probably a little bit less appetite for businesses acting in the interest of the whole nation, and being specific, acting in the interest of the whole nation in addressing social and environmental issues. So again, the vast majority of people here still believe that companies should do more than just obey the law. So they should do everything they can as a company to improve their own performance. And then another 40% felt that they should also then try to improve the outcomes of the whole nation. And whilst that's a significant number, it is a little bit less on both the social and environmental front than what we saw elsewhere. So I think Mia's telling me that I've spoken far too long now. Please enjoy your lunch and I look forward to Q&A afterwards. Thank you.